Hello, my name is Dr. Alan Poyner-Levison, and I want to welcome you to our series of studies on Jesus, our Messiah. We want to begin the studies by looking at the book of John. I want to begin by dealing with the pre-existence of Messiah. And in the book of John, we get the first inklings of this from John 1, the Gospel of John, that is, 1 to 5. And it says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and his life was the life of men. The light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." It's interesting reading this, because the Greek term that John used for word was the Greek word logos, which is understood by John to be the memra, which is an Aramaic word. Because John was not a Greek scholar, he was a Jewish fisherman. So he thought in Jewish thought. And the only word he could use was the word logos, because he was trying to get across the Jewish understanding of the memra to the people who he went to, which was predominantly Gentiles, and which the rabbis had taught him. They taught the means, and this is their teaching. They taught that this means the thought or concept, the express action of utterance. In other words, it was always in the mind of God to be with his people in bodily form. That is, he wanted to express himself in his deity, or to put action to his will. Now, Christians need to learn just why Yeshua, Jesus, is called the Word, or the Memra. The Memra is the Aramaic for word, as we've said, which in the Greek transcribes as logos. So you'd probably find it as logos in your Bible. Now, the concept of the Memra is derived from Psalm 33 and verse 6, which says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." Now the root word, the root Hebrew for word here is dabar in the text, and the inflected word is bidabar, or by the word. Now this verse accurately correlates with John 1 and verse 3. "All things were made by him," John said, "and without him was not anything made that was made." Now, if we read Psalm 147 and verse 15, David says, "He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth, and his word runneth very swiftly." We could also look at the book of Isaiah in verse 55, and chapter 55, and verse 10 to 11. "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." Now, let's deal with the rabbinical understanding of this. The rabbis came upon these terms in which to explain the memra, and John would have learned them in this fashion. First, they said, memra was distinct from God, but sometimes he was the same as God. Then they never ever try to explain these positions away. They may not have fully understood them, but they never tried to explain them away. So what they said was, from what they understood, they just left it there. Now this is why John, in verse 1, says that the Word was with God. It then goes on to say that the Word was God. Like the rabbis, John does not try to explain any of these concepts away. Although further on in his writings, he does try to explain the triunity, or Trinity, as you know it. Because the Word is not God, the Father, or God the Holy Spirit. He is God the Son, which is the authority and power of both in one body. Furthermore, the member was the agent of creation. Because whenever God does anything, he does it by his word, which is his power and authority. The authority of the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit, which is the triunity, or the authority of God in a body. Now this is why we read in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How did he do this? By his word, or his memra, which we also find in verse 3 of the chapter in John, when we read, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Also, in verse 4, John is saying that the memra was the agent of salvation. So when anyone in Scripture was saved, it was the memra that saved them. Now this is talking about both physical and spiritual salvation, which means we are talking just as much about Noah and the children of Israel in the wilderness as we are the apostles in the new covenant. When anyone was saved, it was by the memra. A further key truth is that the memra is the means by which God becomes visible. Now we read in Christian theology that God was seen in different forms. Now we, the theologians, call this a theophany, and it is the visible manifestation of God's presence. Now the rabbis have a different term for this, which is the Shekinah. When this was seen, it was always accompanied by God's glory. So it is the Shekinah glory of God. Now if and when these were seen, it was usually by light, a fire, or a cloud, or a combination of all three. And this always was by means of the memra or the word. Now it was always seen this way. But this time, John says in verse 14 of 1 John, still in the Gospel of John, where he says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now God, the memra, became tangible flesh, which fulfilled his word. Now, verse 14 uses the word dwelt, you may have noticed when I just read that. But this is a more accurate in the Hebrew, which is tabernacled. And whenever God tabernacled, it means he did so by means of the Shekinah, as it simply means he was seen in this thing. The same thing is true of the Hebrew word Mishkan, which means the same. And we can see this in Exodus when we read about the Holy of Holies. Now here, we again use the word Mishkan. The Shekinah glory departed from Israel in the days of Ezekiel in 586 BC, where we read of the various stages of his presence leaving the temple between chapters 8 and 10. But now, after six centuries, he has returned to the earth in the form that was reported to be a star. which we read about in the Gospels over Bethlehem, and which was the coming of the Word, or the Shekinah. The member of God has now come, John informs us. And this is what he's saying in this Gospel. And has tabernacled amongst us in flesh. So John has quickly connected this event with God's glory, which we can read again in verse 14 that we've just mentioned. Now the glory was veiled in his flesh, so he was not seen in any different as any different from any other Jewish male. In fact, it would have been very hard indeed to pick out Jesus from any other man, because he was just ordinary. Isaiah says of this incident that he has no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. This is in Isaiah 53 and verse 2. During Messiah's public ministry, the Shekinah glory came through and was to be seen by John and others, as it says in verse 14, we beheld his glory. Here he's speaking about this occasion, when Jesus was the physical manifestation of God's presence on the mount where they beheld his glory. Now we can read this in Luke verse 29. Luke 9 verse 29. We'll start in actually 28, because it says, now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James, and went up onto a high mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered, and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah. Now this is the story of the Transfiguration, which we read about in the Gospel of Luke, and as well as a number of other passages like Matthew 17:1 and Mark 9:2-8. Now, a further thing we need to know about the Memra, he was the agent of revelation. Now we read in Scripture, the word of the Lord came to this prophet, or the word of the Lord came to that prophet. This is also the work of the Memra. We can see in John 14 and verse 9, and we read, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. We can also see in Hebrews 1, where we are told, God, who at various times and in diverse ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, or through the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Thus, God was seen to be the instrument or agent of revelation through the Memra. Finally, the Memra was the instrument by which God made his covenants. He made 8 covenants with the Jewish people, and all were signed and sealed by the Memra. Now we see this in verse 17, where we read, for the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. This is John 1:17. When anyone makes a covenant, it is first signed, then given, and then sealed. We can see in this scripture that the law was signed. In Exodus 24:1-11, it was given. But in John 19:30-34, the covenant was sealed by his blood. Now this was through the Shekinah glory, which then returned to the Father. Now all the things that the rabbis teach about the Memra are true of Jesus of Nazareth, And so we see he is the only begotten Son of the Father. This does not mean, as the Jehovah's Witnesses say, that he was God's only Son, therefore we can't be born again, because Scripture teaches that he was the only one. But to understand this, we again need to understand the Hebrew. In this context, the Bible states that he was the only begotten of the Father. And this means unique, because we are all sons of God and daughters of God, but he was the special one. He was born in a unique way through the Memra for a special purpose. So we realize six things about what John meant by Memra, or the Word. First, the Memra is individual and yet the same as God. We read in John 1:1, the Word was with God and the Word was God. Second, the Memra was the instrument of creation. And we read in John 1 and verse 3, all things were made by him. And John 1:10, the world was made by him. The third thing is that the Memra was the instrument of salvation. And we read in John 1 and verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Fourth, the Memra was the visible presence of God, or a theophany. Now, John 1:14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Five, the Memra was the covenant maker. In John 1:17, we read, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. In verse 6, we read, finally, the Memra was the revealer of God. And we read in John 1 and verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. He hath declared him. Now this is what John was trying in his gospel to get over. Man has seen God, the Messiah, the Mashiach, the one the prophets spoke about. And he is tabernacling with men. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And he is with you and is with me. And this is the blessing of this whole understanding of the pre-existence of Messiah. And this is how we understand the first verses of the book of John. Thank you for being with me today. Please move on and enjoy the other cassettes. Thank you.